All right. Well, good morning, Coral Springs. It is my honor, my pleasure to be here with you this morning. So glad I could be here to worship with you and to bring a word from the Lord to you this morning. So, you know, I was looking over my notes, and I guess it's been almost 3 years since I've been here preaching with you guys. So I'll let you come to your own conclusions as to how good the last sermon was. But nonetheless, thrilled to be here this morning and glad to be with you. Happy belated 25th birthday. Apologize, I couldn't come up for the celebration, but it's neat to see what the Lord has done through your church over the last several years and to celebrate with you. I was visiting with my four-year-old daughter the other day and telling her, I said, well, this Sunday, you know, we're going to a different church, not to our regular church. And I said, you know, we actually have a lot of friends here, and you know, we started this church. And so trying to explain church planting to a four-year-old was a little difficult. But I just said, there's going to be a lot of new friends here and a lot of people that we know. And so we've been looking forward to it. My family, my wife and I, Shelly, is in the back there. So be sure to stop by and say hello to her this morning. But again, it's my pleasure to be here with you all this morning. Well, as we get started, you know, as you think about it, life is all about choices, right? Every day, we make choices that affect our lives. Some of those choices are big, and some of those choices are pretty small. But every day, we're making choices, and some of them we don't even stop to think about. You know, for example, how many of you, if you admit this morning, this is church, so you can't lie, how many of you hit the snooze button this morning and hope to get a few more minutes of sleep before you came in? Anyone? Okay, as I say, surely not just me, right? How many of you stopped and made a cup of coffee this morning? Maybe didn't even think consciously, you know, hey, I need to stop and make a cup of coffee. But just out of habit, maybe you just chose, you walked down to the kitchen, made a cup of coffee. Anyone? Yeah, I did the same. Maybe you went and stopped and bought one instead. Maybe it wasn't even you, but someone in your house made the decisions that, hey, we're going to come to church today. And so if that wasn't you, well, then you made the decision to do what you needed to do to get ready. Thought, well, I need to wash my face, I need to take a shower, I need to get dressed, whatever. You made that decision to come, even if you didn't decide we're going to come to church today. Every day, we're making choices, and these choices not only affect us, but those around us as well. And so, as we make choices every day, as we're going through life and deciding to do this or to not do that, as Christians, the choices that we make should be consistent with what Jesus would want us to do. And so in our time together this morning, I want us to focus on one particular area. I want us to look at one choice that each of us can make on a regular basis to be more like Jesus. And that's making the decision to serve. It's choosing to put others ahead of yourself. It's choosing to meet the needs of others and to serve them. Because you're never more like Jesus than when you serve. You're never more like Jesus than when you serve. In our passage today, Jesus, he leaves his disciples with a very vivid picture of what it means to serve. As Tony mentioned, we'll be in John chapter 13, so if you want to start making your way there in your copy of God's Word. And if you're familiar with the book of John, you know that between chapters 12 and 13, there's a pretty radical shift that takes place. Chapter 13 begins kind of a new section in the Gospel of John. Because up until chapter 12, it has been talking about Jesus' ministry and his teachings and miracles and all these things. But starting in chapter 13, like I said, there's this very decisive break. Chapter 13 begins the section where Jesus is alone with his disciples as they're getting ready to partake of the Passover meal. And so from chapters 13 on is Jesus and his disciples, chapters 13, 14, 15, 16, some great teachings there, some things that we're very familiar with. Chapter 17 is Jesus' famous high priestly prayer. And then starting chapter 18 and forward is the events are put into motion, that his arrest and trials, and ultimately Jesus' crucifixion. But again, John chapter 13 is where we see this break start, is where we see Jesus alone that evening with his disciples as they're getting ready to partake of the Passover meal together. And so John 13 opens with Jesus and the disciples here in the room, and this is also where Jesus institutes the Lord's Supper. We'll see here during this time as well. And so sometime during that meal, sometime as we begin reading here, sometime during the night, Jesus does something, again, to teach his disciples that they should be servants, and he does so in a way that they'll never forget. Matter of fact, that's why we're still talking about it this morning, because it was such a radical, such a monumental thing that Jesus did. And so here in our passage, we see Jesus as he truly is, as a servant, and we see to the extent to what we should go to as we are to serve others as well. So let's go ahead and we'll start reading in verse 1. I realize it's a long passage, but I'll go ahead and read John 13, starting in verse 1. I believe there's power in hearing God's word read, so follow along with me in verse 1, and we'll see what our passage says this morning. It says, it was just before the Passover festival, Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them till the end. Isn't that a great thought, just to stop and think about? He loved them all the way to the end. Verse 2, the evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. After that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet, drying them with the towel that was wrapped around him. He came to Simon Peter, who said to him, Lord, are you going to wash my feet? Jesus replied, you do not realize now what I'm doing, but later you will understand. No, said Peter, you shall never wash my feet. And Jesus answered, unless I wash you, you have no part with me. Then, Lord, Simon Peter replied, not just my feet, but my hands and my head as well. Jesus answered, those who have had a bath need only to wash their feet. Their whole body is clean. And you are clean, though not every one of you. For he knew who was going to betray him, and that was why he said not everyone was clean. When he had finished washing their feet, he put on his clothes and returned to his place. Do you understand what I have done for you? He asked them. You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am. Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you. Very truly I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is a messenger greater than the one who sent him. And now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them. Jesus said he washed the disciples' feet here as an example for them and ultimately as an example for us. Again, you're never more like Jesus than when you serve. Taking the towel and washing the disciples' feet is certainly one of the more memorable ways that Jesus served, but all throughout Jesus' life, he was a servant. You know, when you think of Jesus, many things could come to mind, many images pop into people's minds. Some people think that Jesus was just a wise teacher. Some people think of Jesus and imagine his power and him performing different miracles and doing these mighty works that only God could do. Some people think of Jesus as kind of this hippie-like figure who was just had long hair and a scraggly beard and just wanted people to love one another and just be nice to each other. Some people see Jesus as this social revolutionary who came to knock down oppressive systems and to liberate the poor and things like that. But when we get these images of Jesus in our mind, when we think about Jesus, we probably don't think of him too often as a servant. But yet that's exactly who he is, exactly what he was all throughout his life. Mark 10:45, Jesus speaking of himself, he said, for the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. And so, as followers of Christ, we're to be like Jesus. Jesus came as a servant, so what do you think we should be? Servants, exactly. When we think of Jesus, when we think of following Jesus and acting like Jesus, we should be servants. That's what should come to mind. So there's your sermon. Close your Bible, we can go home, all right? That's all you need to know. Y'all probably invite me back more often, right? Say, that's the best sermon I've ever heard. Well, Pastor Scott's given me a little more time to speak, so I think we'll go ahead and talk a little more about that. But that's exactly what we should think of. We should think of serving when we think about what it means to follow Jesus. But what often happens is us as Christians, when we think of Jesus, we think of a robe, right? We think of something like this. I've never preached with a robe on before. I think I might keep this on the rest of the sermon, if that's all right with you all. Not really. That's fine. Great, thank you. You can probably guess what I was for Halloween, right? No, when we think of Jesus, as believers, we think of a robe, right? We think of this high, kingly, priestly role that Jesus is. We think of, you know, what does a robe like this represent? Now, this is a Halloween costume. But if you saw someone in real life wearing a robe like this, you would probably, even if it wasn't Halloween, you would think this person is royalty. This person is special. This robe that they wear, this represents power. This represents authority. This represents, you know, a certain level that most people are not. This person, something is different about him. Something is special. And so I probably don't have to spend a lot of time convincing many of you in this room that Jesus is the King of Kings, that he is the Lord of Lords, that Jesus does deserve all of the glory and praise and honor. I'm just going to kind of accept that we're all kind of on the same page when it comes to that. I'm not really going to go into much of that. And so it's certainly appropriate when we think of Jesus to think of a robe. I'm actually going to take this off. It's, like I said, I've never preached in a robe before. It's kind of a new experience. Maybe I won't. That's all right. This is on video. You'll never forget this sermon. Boy, he didn't want me to take this off all day. Oh, I got it. I got it. Great. Actually, I'll leave this right here for a few moments, if y'all don't mind. So when we think of Jesus, typically we think of the robe, right? As believers, we think of Jesus as the reigning, ruling king of the universe. But there's something else we should think of Jesus, we should think of when we think of Jesus, and that is the towel. Because the towel represents serving others. The towel represents putting others first and thinking of them before ourselves. And see, for us as Christians, the problem comes, though, when we confuse the robe and the towel. As Christ followers, we are to be like Jesus. But only Jesus wears the robe. He alone is worthy of that title, and he's and as Lord, he shares that with no one, with no man, with no woman. And so, as Christians, we're not to follow Jesus in his kingly role, but we are to follow him in his servant role. So, if you're taking notes, write down a few things. First of all, we're to pick up the towel, not the robe. Pick up the towel and not the robe. In the Gospels, we see both the robe and the towel all the way throughout Jesus' life. And certainly, Jesus understood this distinction between the two, between his servant role and between his kingly role. I mean, even in our passage here, we see that, verse 13. Jesus says, "You call me teacher and Lord, and rightly so, for that is what I am." Here we see that the robe, which is exclusively for Jesus, okay? He is teacher, he is Lord. That is his prerogative alone. Verse 13, we see that Jesus, we see the robe there. But verses 14 and 15, we see the role that that us as his followers are to have. We see the towel, verse 14. "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. Because I have set you an example that you should do as I have done for you." Every day, we have a choice to make, whether we're going to be servants, whether we're going to take the towel or if we're going to pursue the robe. And we're to choose the towel because Jesus came to serve. So second thing this morning, if you're taking notes, Jesus came to serve. Again, remember Mark 10:45, the Son of Man did not come to be served, but rather to serve. And so if we think about it, all throughout Jesus' life, we see him in a position of humility when he could have been commanding others around, when he could have been calling the shots. Again, he's the king. He wears the robe. Jesus, he could command anything that he wants, and it would happen. But from the very beginning of Jesus' life, all the way to the end of his life, we see a life of humble service. He came as a baby in the most vulnerable state that you can imagine. He was weak and lowly. And then all the way, if you fast forward to the end of his life, we see a broken and bruised and bloodied, humiliated body hanging on the tree, hanging on the cross. What's more, all throughout Jesus' life, we see him serving. We see that he is seeking after the lost. We see that he is performing miracles, that he is teaching, that he is healing people. All throughout Jesus' life and his ministry, we read that he is caring for others, that he is serving others, that Jesus lived the life of a servant, because that's exactly what he was. You know, really, all of Jesus' life could be represented by that towel that he held that night in John 13. We're to pick up the towel, because we're to be like Jesus, and Jesus came to serve. But as we all know, serving is probably the most unnatural thing for us to do, right? That is probably one of the hardest things that just completely goes against all that we are and all that we want in life. It can be incredibly difficult to get this mindset of being a servant. Because, let's face it, we all like to be served. We all like to be pampered. We all like people to serve us, right? I mean, a lot of times we're just too busy, or we just want someone to serve us and do something for us. I mean, think about it. That's pretty much why the restaurant business exists, right? It's because you don't want to sit down and cook a meal. I mean, have you ever noticed? It seems like it takes about 8 hours to prep all the food, takes about 10 minutes to eat the food, and then like 3 days to do all the dishes afterwards. Every time I cook in my house, that's what happens. I don't know why. It's such a long, burdensome process. And so a lot of times we'll just say, listen, I just want to sit back and relax and just go to the restaurant, leave the mess for someone else to clean up. You know, I'll let someone else cut up all the vegetables and, you know, all that kind of, I don't want to worry about that. I just want to sit back and have someone serve me. And so, I mean, because cooking a meal, that's something all of us can do, right? I mean, if you can read, you can follow a recipe. You might not be a gourmet chef, but all of us could cook a meal if we had to. Like I said, if you can read, you can cook, you know, tablespoon of salt, and, you know, mix 3 eggs, and, you know. So it's not that we can't do it. It's just that we choose, I want someone else to do this for me. I want to be served in this instance. And it's the same way with other things, right? I mean, we'll pay people to take care of our lawns, to clean our pools. We'll pay someone to wash our car. People will pay for manicures. I mean, all things that we could do ourselves, but sometimes just simply choose to have someone else do for us, sometimes because we just like to be served. You know, sometimes because of our profession, or maybe because of our status, maybe because of our age, maybe because of who we are, maybe because of the number of years we've already served, we feel like we almost deserve to be served sometimes. Now, we probably won't say that to other people, but if you think about it, sometimes we get the idea that, hey, we deserve to sit back and let others take care of us. You all remember that old McDonald's slogan from years and years ago, "You deserve a break today"? That's our mindset a lot of times. Hey, I deserve this. You need to take care of me. And unfortunately, sometimes that mindset can get into the church as well. So even us as believers, we need this reminder from time to time that we are to be servants. Jesus came as a servant, and you're never more like Jesus than when you serve. You know, even if you think about the disciples, several times throughout the Gospels, they would argue about who is the greatest, right? If you're reading through the Gospels, you ever come across one of those passages, you know, where they're saying, oh, well, I think I'm the greatest. And this guy comes over here, oh, well, no, Philip, I'm actually the greatest. And then Matthew comes along and says, well, sorry to break it to you, boys, but, you know, I'm the greatest right here. Time and time again, we see this conversation happening with the disciples. And I mean, of all the people, in the Bible, these should be the folks who understand it, right? I mean, they're living with Jesus. They're walking with Jesus. They're serving with Jesus. They're seeing him cast out demons and all these types of things. Of all the people, the disciples should be, man, they should be on their A game, right? But instead, they're the ones, well, who's the greatest? Well, I'm the greatest. Well, no, can't be you. And if you read almost every single time, matter of fact, I think every single time, when you come across an instance of that, Jesus tells them, hey, actually, guys, I'm getting ready to go to Jerusalem where I'm going to be crucified, and then I'm going to rise back from the dead 3 days later. And I get the impression the disciples kind of think, okay, thanks, but I'm still the greatest. Oh, no, it's me. No. But every single time, Jesus reminds them of this truth. You know, because every single time we see the disciples, they had their eyes on the robe instead of the towel. I mean, if you look at Luke chapter 22, it says even that night at the Last Supper, when the passage we read in John, the parallel in Luke, even that night at the table, they were discussing who's the greatest, right in front of Jesus, as if he wouldn't overhear, as if he wouldn't have anything to say about it. Even that very night, they were arguing about this. But again, every time they would, Jesus would say, hey guys, you know who's the best? And you know who's really the greatest? Do you know what that really looks like? It looks like a life of service. It looks like me pulling out all the stops for you. It looks like me going to the cross, laying down my life, and doing something for you that you could never do myself. It looks like me being intentional to serve you in this way. That's what greatness looks like. Because you see, in God's kingdom, greatness is judged by service. Serving others is the goal, not greatness. Again, you're never more like Jesus than when you serve. And if we're going to be like Jesus, third thing, we must be intentional to serve. It takes a conscious effort for us to go about serving others, to think, to make that decision to put others ahead of yourselves. Do you remember what Jesus did here at the Last Supper? We read it a few moments ago. Jesus was intentional about washing the disciples' feet, right? I mean, he didn't just happen to come upon this situation where he just finds himself, you know, on the floor scrubbing everyone's dirty, nasty feet there. No, you read the passage. It says he got up from the table. He took off that outer robe. He grabbed a towel. He tied around his waist. He got some water. He got a bowl. He went from person to person washing their feet and drying their feet. I'd kind of forgotten about that, right? He didn't just dunk them in and say, okay, you're good, and go to the next guy. And no, he was taking time. He was washing. He was even drying their feet when he was done. Jesus was very intentional. This wouldn't have happened if he wouldn't have purposed to be a servant and to get up and to do this that night. You know, and if we think about this, you know, washing people's feet and all this, think back to Jesus' time from what we know. People wore sandals and walked on dirt roads, right? They didn't wear socks with their sandals. They didn't live in South Florida, right? So that was a lot funnier in my mind when we'll see how the next service responds. But they wore sandals. They were walking on these dirty, nasty roads. There were animals running around, and just like today, you have to be careful where you step when there's animals running around. They didn't have the sewer systems that we have today, so in addition to what the animals would leave behind, I'll just say you just really had to be careful where you stepped. And so on top of that, think about, you know, a lot of people were fishermen. A lot of people were farmers. You can't hardly go to a lake without stepping in mud and, you know, bugs and grass. And so it would have been incredibly easy for someone's feet to get dirty. You know, a farmer or like a fisherman, you know, whatever you're doing. Dirt roads, you know, dog things left behind. And so this was the environment that these men walked in day in and day out. This was their life. And so usually what would happen is people, when they'd come together for a meal, you can imagine that's the last thing you want to be thinking about, the last thing you want to be smelling as you're getting ready to eat. And so a lot of times what people would do is they would kind of recline off to the side. They would kind of lay their feet to one side and then keep their hands and their mouth kind of on the other side. Some people would almost lie down like you're sleeping. They would try to get their feet as far away as they could from them. And so this is the scene that as you would sit down, you would again kind of extend your feet off to the side and to keep that stench primarily away from your food. And if you could afford it, you would have a servant who would go around and wash the feet of every person there in attendance. It was a nice gesture. It certainly wasn't required. But if you could afford it, and if at all possible, it was just a nice thing that you would do for your guests. And this job would always be reserved, because it was so nasty and just so dirty, this job would always be reserved for the lowest servant of the household. You know, if you had two or three different servants or whatever, or in a Jewish household, even the lowest Jewish servant would never do this. It would always be the Gentile, because it was that dirty, that nasty of a thing to think about to do. So the very absolute lowest on the totem pole servant, this would be his job to go around and wash people's feet. I mean, on a very rare occasion, if you would wash the feet of your contemporary, maybe your friend or a family member or something, but under no circumstances would a boss or a high-ranking official or anyone, a rabbi, as we think about Jesus and his disciples, that would never take place. I mean, just socially, culturally, that would never happen, that the boss, that the leader, that the rabbi, whatever, that he would stoop down to that level to do this. That just did not happen. Why? Well, because he's the boss. Imagine going to your boss and saying, "Hey, boss, I need you to do the lowest, dirtiest, nastiest thing you can think of for me. You know, I need you to come clean up after my dog in my yard tomorrow." Go to your boss tomorrow and see how that goes. So, yeah, just because of his role, because of his title, because of who he was, the leader would never do these things. It was always the lowest servant of the household. And so, with all this in mind, again, this is the context that we find ourselves in here. But for whatever reason, that night when Jesus was with his disciples, no one had washed their feet. So again, Jesus, very intentionally, he did the unthinkable. He got up and he washed the disciples' feet. And so, again, under no circumstances would this ever occur, but Jesus, because he's a servant, did exactly this thing. And so that's why we see in verses 6, 7, and 8, Peter, when it comes to Peter, he says, "Lord, you're never going to wash my feet." I mean, Peter understood this is not acceptable. This is not culturally. He says, "Jesus, you can't wash my feet." You know, if anything, Peter should be washing his feet. But Jesus, he says, "No, listen, I came as a servant. If you don't let me wash your feet, you're preventing me from doing the very thing that I came to do. If you don't let me do this, you have no part with me because I am a servant. I'm doing this as an example to show you, therefore, how you need to serve, how you need to live, and what you need to do as well." And while we're thinking about this, you know, this just kind of hit me the other day, kind of fresh. While we're talking about Jesus and washing feet and just how dirty and nasty that was and on, keep in mind, Jesus washed 24 dirty feet that night. And you'll recall that two of those belonged to Judas. And again, if you know John 13, 14, 15, 16, you know just a short time later, Judas is the one who goes and betrays Jesus, who accepts the bribe, who turns him over to get arrested. Jesus, of course, knew all these things, but yet he still chose to wash Judas's feet that night. I don't know if you've ever stopped to think about that. Even a man like Judas, Jesus still did this. Now, I always wonder, what was Judas thinking as he was walking that night to go to betray Jesus? As he purposed in his mind to get the 30 pieces of silver and to betray Jesus, I wonder if he happened to look down and realize that his feet had just been cleaned by the man he was going to betray. Maybe he didn't think about it. Maybe he was so focused on doing this that he didn't even give it a second thought. But considering what we just read, I gotta wonder if even an amazing act of service like that had no effect on a man like Judas. Startling to think about. And even more startling to think, if Jesus did this for Judas, what reason do we have to not serve those around us? I mean, none of us in this room in America today are probably going to be betrayed and turned over and persecuted because of our faith, hopefully. I don't think that's going to happen today, at least. So if Jesus could wash the man's feet who did that to him, what reason do we not have to serve the person, maybe the neighbor, whose kids are just a little too rambunctious for us? You know, or maybe the person that we work with who puts some things on social media that we think, well, that's probably not what a good Christian should do. I don't think you're living quite right. You know, where the schoolmate that we go to who sneaks out and goes to parties and lies to his parents. Jesus even served Judas. So could we not serve those people around us, the neighbor whose music is a little too loud or whatever the case may be? Something to think about, certainly. And so as we get ready to wrap up, let me just say this. Now, some of you have probably been sitting here thinking the whole time, I don't think you ever want to see my feet, right? Like, I mean, if I said, hey, y'all, let's come up and let's have a foot washing service. You know, take off your shoes, we're going to wash it right here. Some of you would, you'd be out that door. You say, you're not touching my feet, right? Like, that's just not going to happen. So let me say this. I don't think the act of literally washing feet is what we need to be about, right? Now, some churches do that. You know, like I said, later this night, Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. So there's some churches, whenever they do the Lord's Supper, they'll actually wash feet of the congregation as well. I'm not saying you have to do that. And I know some of you are saying, praise the Lord. So I'm not saying go out and wash people's feet, okay? So that's not what I'm saying at all, right? Because humility and serving, those are things that are culturally defined, right? And so the point is here that we are to serve other people. Because we find serving, we find humility in other places of the Bible, not so much foot washing. And so it's serving, it's humility, it's living this aspect, living like Jesus. That's what we need to focus on. That's the idea that endures. The expression of service will change from place to place and culture to culture, but the idea of serving is what endures. Jesus, he intentionally sought out this opportunity to serve the disciples. He inconvenienced himself to do this undesirable task, knowing that he wouldn't get repaid for it, knowing that there was no benefit for him. And in fact, knowing that all these men would desert him just a few hours later. And so again, if Jesus could serve others, could wash their feet, even knowing all of this, why can't we serve those around us? Why can't we be intentional? Why can't we follow Jesus' example and bless others and serve others and put their needs ahead of ours? We should, because Jesus came to serve, and we're never more like Jesus than when we serve. So pick up the towel, not the robe. Jesus came to serve, and so we must be intentional to serve as well. Jesus came as a servant, and so if we want to be like Jesus, we need to be servants. As we read in this passage, no one had to tell Jesus to serve, right? No one had to pressure him into doing this. He didn't have to have any incentive to serve others. You know, he wasn't going to get a prize for serving others that night. He just got up and did it. And, you know, as we think about this story and as we think about Jesus washing their feet and doing this act of service, you know, the most wonderful way that Jesus served was by laying down his life on the cross, by paying the penalty for our sins, and doing something that we could never do and cleansing us in a way that we never could. Because not only was Jesus teaching his disciples a message here about serving that night, but he was indicating, he was pointing forward to an act of washing and cleansing that would come the next day on the cross. Because, I mean, the disciples, they could have washed their own feet, right? I mean, nothing was preventing them. They just didn't want to do it because it was nasty. But something that they couldn't do, something that I can't do, is wash away the sins in our lives. You know, the old hymn asked the question, what can wash away my sin? And then gloriously answers for us, nothing but the blood of Jesus. And so the towel draws our attention to the greatest act of service ever performed, and it happened on a cross 2,000 years ago. If you haven't called upon the name of Jesus to wash you and to cleanse you, I would love to visit with you more after the service, visit with Pastor Scott or with one of the deacons here, and we could tell you how you can do so today. Again, if you have questions, I encourage you, don't leave today without learning more about how this greatest act of service that Jesus ever did. But for those of us who are believers, as followers of Christ, serving should be almost an unconscious expression of who we are. Serving and humility, these shouldn't just be isolated incidents, things that we do every so often, but these should be things that define our lives. I mean, I want my life to be like that. And if you're a follower of Christ, God wants your life to be like that as well. Jesus set an example for us so that we would serve others. And if you remember that very last verse, verse 17 there, Jesus says, now that you know these things, you will be blessed. You'll be blessed if you do them. Jesus came as a servant. He is the one we're following, and that's why we serve. So make the choice. Pick up the towel and not the robe. Make the choice to serve. Intentionally look for opportunities to put others ahead of yourself. And because we're doing this, because we're never more like Jesus than when we serve. Let's pray. God, we thank you for this passage, for this wonderful reminder of Jesus and what he did for the disciples that evening. God, I pray that that would be true of our lives as well. God, that we are men and women, boys and girls who love you and who serve others because we want to be like Jesus. God, I pray that you'd give us a servant's heart. God, that even as we go into this Thanksgiving season, and Lord, as we are thankful and reflect upon all the blessings you've given us, God, that we would be thankful for those who are servants and for those who are serving us and who have done so this year. And God, I pray again that above all, we would commit to be servants, to serve in our church family, to serve in different opportunities here, but to serve others around us, to serve whoever you place in our paths, in doing so, Lord, because we want to be simply like Jesus. God, we love you and thank you. Pray all this in his name. Amen.